for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together with brothers and sisters in Christ to sing these praises to your name, Lord, and to read from your word. And we just pray that you would bless our pastor, Craig, as he comes and delivers this morning's message on these two verses, Lord. May we all grow in the grace and knowledge of you, Lord. But more importantly, may we share that knowledge with the lost world. So again, we just pray for your blessing upon the remainder of our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ron. And once again, as usual, great, great song set. Very, very adequate for what we're going to be looking at here this morning. As I was wrapping up last week's sermon here in 2 Peter, we actually finished the book last week, the first few words of verse 18 struck me. And I think it might be due in part just maybe to some of the things that I've gone through in ministry over the past a couple years, but it says this in verse 18. It says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." And I thought to myself, what does it mean to grow in grace? And as I began to look into this, like I said, the phrase just kind of struck me there. But as I began to look at it, I learned, first of all, that this is actually the only place in the entire Bible that has that exact phrase, grow in grace. However, the theme, the idea of growing in grace is everywhere. It is everywhere. So maybe that's why it caught my attention, is it seemed kind of, I hadn't heard the term before, and sure enough, it's the only place in all of Scripture. But again, the idea of growing in grace is all over in Scripture. And so, I want to spend our last Sunday morning in this 2 Peter series looking at this commandment to grow in the grace of God. And so that's our subject, grow in the grace of God. And I want to tell you that there have been some times in my ministry when I have been treated poorly, ungraciously, sometimes in a very, very unfair way. I've been slandered about. I've been gossiped about. I've been disrespected. I have been hated. I've been unfairly rebuked. And there have been times in my ministry where I retaliated. I've been treated that way, but there have been times in my ministry when I was just as mean back to them as a result of what they had done to me. In fact, as we look at our world today, and in particular the social media aspect of things, that sort of thing, the slander, the gossip, and the retaliation is rampant on social media. Words just fly. And no sense behind them sometimes, no care about the wake of destruction that might follow. In James chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." That's what our words can do. And I have seen entire godly ministries destroyed because of a conflict between two people. Slander, gossip, disrespect. reached outside of the dueling parties and actually destroyed a wonderful work of God. In Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 15, the Apostle Paul there says, he really tells us, watch out for this sort of thing. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you also be consumed by one another. This sort of thing, this lack of graciousness toward one another, is destructive. And I think that is why Peter ends this letter talking about growing in grace. For not only do false teachers come in and destroy ministries, but they conjure up all sorts of division within ministries to the point to where we're biting and devouring one another. And the next thing you know, an entire godly ministry is gone. And that's where the grace of God comes in. You see, without God showing us grace, we might not know how to act. In fact, without God showing us grace, humanity would have been gone before the first baby was born to Adam and Eve. All right? Without God showing us grace, humanity would have been gone upon the flood of Noah. And I'm talking Noah and family too. Without God's grace, humanity would have been gone at the Tower of Babel. Humanity would have been gone at the first disobedience to God's law. Humanity would have been gone at the rejection of Jesus. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, it tells us about Jesus. It says he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But in God's grace, this is how he treats us. In God's grace, he gave humanity a reward that they did not deserve. In God's grace, he offered humanity the free gift of salvation from sin's penalty and eternal life with him. We don't deserve that. And in John 1:12, it says, as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. But even now, as God has provided this gift of redemption for free to humanity and offers it to everyone, humanity still ignores him, rejects him, slanders him, disrespects him, curses him, mocks his son, persecutes his people, and yet God does not retaliate. That is graciousness. Now Peter, he has warned us already that there is a final day coming in which wickedness must be judged. Because God is just and fair, those who do not receive his salvation are naturally condemned. But until that happens, you and I are supposed to display the grace of God to the world. In Philippians 2:15, Paul there says that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. And if we're biting and devouring one another, we won't be. So Peter says, grow. Grow in the grace of God. Let me read that passage again that Ron read, verses 17 and 18. He says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. And so perhaps the best place to start here this morning is to give us a definition of what grace is. All right? The word as used in Scripture in the original Greek is actually the word charis. C-H-A-R-I-S is the transliteration, and it's where we get our English word charity. Charity. And so the grace of God is His charity toward us. It's an undeserved reward. It is a need of ours met for free, even though we don't deserve to have it met. The grace of God is His unmerited favor toward us. It is Him treating us, blessing us, rewarding us, even though we don't deserve it. That's charity. That is charity. Who is that person in your life? Who are the people in your life who perhaps deserve to be destroyed? Show them grace. Show them Jesus. Because that is how God is dealing with you. He is showing you grace. You see, we are bad. We're sinners. And yet because He loves us, He doesn't destroy us. And rather, He treats us with patience. He treats us with goodness. He treats us with kindness. He treats us with love. In Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And Peter says now, he says, "I want you, recipients of this letter, I want you to grow in that grace." And here is what growing in grace is not. In fact, this is my first point this morning. Here's what it isn't. Here is what growing in grace isn't. Growing in grace is not forcing God to be more gracious with us. All right, that's what grace isn't. It's not forcing God or even encouraging God to be more gracious with us. He is gracious in that because of the blood of Christ for our sins, He doesn't destroy us and rather treats us with patience, goodness, kindness, and love. And growing in that grace is not us continuing in sin so that He can show us more of it. Well, the more I sin, the more God gives me grace. Isn't that great? No. No. That is not growing in the grace of God. That is ridiculous. That is being ungrateful. That is evil. That is evil. Imagine, and I don't even know why I thought about it this way, but bear with me here for a minute. Imagine I climbed to the top of a cell phone tower. Just for kicks, okay? And it exhausted me so much that by the time I got up there, I was too weak to let myself down. I was losing my grip. I was getting close to falling to my death. And you came along and you saw me up there and you thought, what in the world, right? That's the first thing you thought. But then you see that I'm about ready to drop to my death. So you climb up there and you rescue me. You bring me down safe and sound. Now I deserve to fall, right? But you were gracious to me. Well, imagine that the next time we're together, another cell phone tower, I went and climbed it. Right? That would be ridiculous. That would be me being ungrateful to you. That would be me being evil to you. All right, this time you might let me fall. In fact, you might shoot me off, right? And I'll tell you, God does that sometimes to his children who test his grace. Oh, you want to walk that road of sin again? Okay, well, there you go. Suffer the consequences. But growing in grace, my point here is growing in grace is not us forcing God to be more gracious with us. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says this in verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And that term, certainly not, is emphatic. Okay, he is emphasizing this. He says, may it never be. That is not what the grace of God is all about. And to do so would be ridiculous. It would be ungrateful. It would be evil. So this leads us then to what it is. What is us growing in the grace of God? Well, growing in the grace of God is us becoming more like Christ. And I think you knew that already, but I wanted to point it out because the Apostle Paul even pointed out that there were some who thought it meant we should sin more. All right? So I pointed it out. But here's what it means. Growing in the grace of God is us becoming more like Christ. That is the grace that we are to grow in. It is the same kind of grace that God displayed toward us. Since we placed our faith in Jesus for salvation from sin and experienced His grace, grow in it. Grow in that toward those around you. This not only means that we quit climbing cell phone towers, but we go around helping other dummies get off. That's graciousness. In fact, that is the encouragement Peter began this letter with. I think I've got this one coming up here, but 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. And through these, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and is forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. You see, growing in the grace of God is us becoming more like Christ. And Peter gives us in that passage, that chapter 1 passage, a few virtues to grow in that are gracious virtues. virtues to grow in that will display God's grace to those around us. And I could go through all of them, but I've got four of them here for you that I want to point out. Here's the first one. Become more self-controlled. Become more self-controlled. Don't attack people. Don't attack people even if they attack you. Don't retaliate in like. If you are slandered or gossiped about or hated or unfairly rebuked, don't retaliate with those sorts of things. And certainly, it should go without saying, but I'm going to say it, certainly don't be the initiator of those sorts of things. Don't propagate it. Self-control is a gracious virtue. If we as Christians have a problem with somebody, go to that somebody. Talk it out graciously. If need be, bring another gracious person with you. That right there is being self-controlled. Jesus went right to the Pharisees who were slandering and gossiping about him. It's a gracious virtue to become more self-controlled. If Jesus retaliated every time we did something stupid, we'd have been gone a long time ago. I shared this with somebody recently too. I have found that the older I get, and it seems wiser, I get, the less I talk. Does that ring true with anybody else? I think silence might be a result of self-control growing in me. It's me saying to me, Craig, I know you want to say something about what you're hearing right now, but just zip it. Just zip it. Become more self-controlled. Here's the second one. Become more patient. And I think we actually touched on this a few weeks ago too, but have you ever wondered why God had Noah preach to the wicked people of the world the entire time he built the ark? Have you ever wondered why God provided for Israel, complaining Israel for 40 years in the wilderness when they could have entered the promised land on day one? Have you ever wondered why God had Israel march around the city of Jericho for 7 days? Have you ever wondered why God waited 4,000 years to send Jesus to redeem people? Have you ever wondered why God waited over 2,000 years now for him to come back? Have you ever wondered why God will spend 7 years judging the earth in the tribulation when he could do it in an instant? Patience. Patience. It's gracious. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the patience of God. Patience displays God's grace. When we're patient, it displays God's grace. Become more patient with the people around you. Here's the third one. Become more humble. Now, I didn't plan this. I actually prepared this sermon like 5 weeks ago. And I hadn't asked Richard Rabb to prepare this lesson until about 4 weeks ago. But my point is, Richard Rabb did a Sunday school on humility this morning. So we're getting a double dose of it here, okay? But become more humble. Peter mentions godliness and brotherly kindness in that list of virtues in chapter 1. But godliness and brotherly kindness, it begins with humility. In fact, they're coupled together. One can come from the other. Christ was godly. He put our interests, though, before His own. He left His eternal throne in heaven to be confined to a human body, experience all of our needs and weaknesses, and then kindly served His brother in life and His death. Humility is us looking out for the interests of others, even above our own. Even our enemies. Because that's what God did for us. That is godliness. That is brotherly kindness. Become more humble. In Philippians 2, 3 through 8, it says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, said, "God resists the proud, but gives grace." He gives grace to the humble. We can grow in the grace of God by us being humble, having the mind of Christ. You see, just like Christ loved you, you love one another. That's graciousness. All right. Become more humble. Become more loving. Become more loving is the fourth one. Just like Christ loved you, you love one another. Because sometimes, we're told this because sometimes one another, they don't deserve love. But that is not what God's love is like. God's love is unconditional. In dealing with people problems, and I think that is where 99.99% of our problems come from, okay? But in dealing with people problems, I have heard a few people say concerning the person they are dealing with, "Well, you gotta love them." And I say, you're absolutely right, because Jesus commanded it. You do have to love them. In fact, in John 13, 34 and 35, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And then he says this, "By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Growing in the grace of God is us becoming more like Christ. We must display that grace to one another. We must display the grace of God to those around us, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, it is okay if we don't get our way sometimes. It is okay if our brother or sister messes up sometimes. You know, it is okay. It's okay to forgive them. Galatians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul there says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the one word that he's speaking of there is love. He continues in that passage, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Lives destroyed. Ministries destroyed. Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. He's telling us, if we're not pursuing peace, if we're retaliating, they won't see the Lord. But if we do pursue peace with all people and holiness, they will see the Lord. He continues, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. A lack of grace just ruins everything. You want to destroy a person or an entire ministry or defile yourself? Be ungracious. Be ungrateful. Be evil. Slander. Gossip. Hate. You want to nurture a person? Nurture an entire ministry and grow in grace? Be self-controlled. Be patient. Be humble. Be loving. Peter in chapter 1, he said, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've seen what growing in grace isn't. We've seen what it is. But lastly, and really in closing this morning, how we grow is what I want to look at last. How do we implement this in our life? How do we ensure that we are growing in grace? You see, growing in the grace of God comes from growing in the knowledge of God. That's where it comes from. Peter couples the two together. That's why he says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The ungracious person is demonstrating that they don't know God very well. That's just a fact. And that is why Peter says, grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, the more we know about the God of the universe, the more we know about God's nature, the more we experience His nature in our lives, the more we can become like Him. Who here would be willing to admit, I am an expert at walking? All right, right there in the back. Would you be willing to demonstrate your expertise? Just walk up the aisle and then back down. I think he's got it down. Yeah, all right. Go ahead and head back. Awesome. I would you agree he's an expert? All right, yes, he is an expert. He's really good at it. Have you always been good at walking? No, okay, you have not always been good at walking. At one point in time, you were not good at walking. At one point in time, you'd never done it before. At one point in time, somebody probably showed you and showed you again and encouraged you and encouraged you again. And you tried and you tried and you tried. And then there was that one day when, man, you did it. You took those first steps, and now here we are some 10, 17, 85 years later, whatever the case may be, and it's just natural. I'm an expert at walking. I can do it without even thinking. It just comes to me naturally, muscle memory even. So it is with growing in grace. You were born once and you learned to walk. You were born again. Learn to walk. Learn to walk. And so in conclusion, we grow in the grace really through two things, I think. The first one is educational knowledge. This is us learning things for the very first time, specifically from the Word of God about God. It's us reading in God's Word and learning who He is, who He isn't. This is us learning how gracious and how loving He has been to people in the past. That is educational knowledge. But then there is experiential knowledge. This is when we see the grace of God that we've read about happen in our own life. This is us walking in God's Spirit and seeing the fruit of it firsthand in our lives, where we walk in the Spirit and God graciously steers us away from that lust or that temptation or whatever it is, that retaliation, that gossip that's slandered. And we think, wow, God was good to me right there. And we keep taking those kinds of steps and we begin to display God's grace to those around us. Peter said, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. You'll become an expert. Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's Galatians 5:16. He says in Galatians 5:22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That echoes what Peter's been telling us. He continues in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What was the law of Christ? Love. Love. And that is why Peter says in these last two verses, you therefore, beloved, meaning ones loved by God, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked or world, I might say, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. You were born once and you learned to walk on your feet. You're born again. Learn to walk in grace. Father, we thank You for our time here this morning. Thank You for this book of 2 Peter, and in particular this morning, the way that You had him close it out. Father, we do live in a world that is oftentimes chaotic, oftentimes in favor of the false rather than the truth, oftentimes hurtful and destructive toward one another. Lord, make us different. Teach us to walk in grace. Teach us to walk in Your Spirit, who is here to teach us who Jesus was so that we can become more like Him. Lord, we thank You for it, and we thank You for it in His name. Amen.